Mr. Tom Jackson, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Jackson?
Born in Gough Street, Woolwich, South East 18, August the 4th, 1915. My father being Edward Dummett Jackson, my mother Alice Gertrude Jackson.
Can you tell us a bit about your parents and your early life, the circumstances you were living in?
Well, as a lad, I used to go to school.
What did your father do for a living? What sort of life?
My father worked in the dockyard at Woolwich for quite a number of years first, that I can recall. And when that closed, he went into the arsenal and worked. And in the evening, he had a job in the Woolwich Empire as a bouncer in the gallery.
He's a big man, was he?
Not so big, but he's hefty. Hefty bloke, sort of bloke. No, didn't stand no nonsense.
So were you reasonably well off, or...?
No. We were very on the living from man to man, that sort of thing, like years ago. There was quite a crowd of us.
Well, how many were there?
There's three sisters and six brothers.
That's a big family.
Yeah.
And did your mother work, or was she too busy looking after the family?
A couple of times, I recall, she went out and done a bit, but she was pulled in by my sisters and father and that. Well, times were hard, so she was trying to make things go better for us all.
Now, what about your education? Tell us about the schools you went to.
I went to Union Street School, which was approximately 200 yards away, until the age of 14. Then I went to work and used to go to Ealing.
Now, how did you do at school? What sort of,
Fair. No great academic or anything like that. I was just fair. I got a good character and all that. But
Was there anything that interested you? I mean, was there anything you were good at or particularly bad at?
No, because I was prone to having accidents, actually.
What sort of accidents?
Everything. From the age of 3 onwards. Glass in my eye. Busted my arm twice. Busted my leg. I had all the normal things kids have.
So you were off school a lot?
Yeah, but they used to wheel me up to school in the pram. the old wooden push chair. So no one allowed in classes. Oh, that's why I was stopped participating in sports, because I busted my leg, busted my arm, busted my skull, done a lot.
So you left school in...
14.
1929.
Yeah.
And what work did you do?
I went on the Corporate Society as a vanguard, as they called it, a bread roundsman's assistant. But in them days, you had the big baskets, and used to deliver, go round the houses with the bread.
What was that like?
Hard, grim, because the baskets were big and heavy. But a horse-drawn vehicles, by the way, you had to fill the nose bag and chaff bag and take the harness into the stable man to harness it up. And when I was 16, because at night time I used to get home and used to go to night school up at Mulgrave Place. Then when I was 16, they gave it a sack because you automatically get more money. And I was very small and the bigger chaps could do the warehouse work. So from there I had to go to day classes then at school, which people don't realise there was day classes yet you're compelled to go to. Then from there I went into the... What was the first one? Standard telephone cable for a while. When that job finished, to get the sack ready, the contracts finished.
What were you doing for them?
On a motor pool machines, like you've about 4 cables, twine them in towards going making a big cable. And from that finished, then I got another job after that. I went to the Trident Glass Tube Manufacturing Company, and you stood up on big pedestals, and as the glass tubes came down, you just put out your tongs, grabbed hold of it as it snapped the top, and put it in the box, hit and miss sort of thing. Being boys, you miss some of the two, like him. And I'd done a couple of other little just jobs, and then I was walking across the market one day, and my brother pulled up there. Little old Lizzie Ford, Bangkok car, a van he had there. He said, where are you going? I said, I'm going down the labour exchange. What for? I said, job finished. He said, hop up there and pull that stuff down off the lorry for us. From there onwards I went with him and I was on the market, Woolwich Market. Right away through until I was conscripted.
Now tell us, what were you doing in Woolwich Market? Tell us what the market was like before the war and what you did.
See, it was in the harder times, see. And I can recall some of the... When I first went on that market, I sold potatoes, £5 for 2p. And the king average was £4 for 3p. And the prices are like laughable in comparison with today.
And you were working at a greengrocer store.
Yeah, greengrocer.
That's what you were doing all throughout. Right. So how did the greengrocer store work? You know, what was your day's work? Where would you get the vegetables from? Tell us all about it.
My brother used to go to Spitalfields Market. And we had one stall. Then we had two stalls, then we had three stalls, all backing onto each other. He used to go to the Spitalfields Market and used to do the buying.
So he did the buying?
My buying, yeah. He never appeared on the stalls. Over a period of time, I think we had about 8 blokes working for him. And then he went into wholesale. Round we, so we had the three stalls and the wholesale as well. And I.
So he'd buy the stuff in the morning, and then what would you do?
I'd be on the stall.
What time would you start?
During the week, about 6:30, 6:45. And you served until, you were allowed to serve until 8 o'clock at night. Saturday night, you were allowed to serve until 9 o'clock.
That's a long day.
That's how it was in them days. Because the butchers used to be auctioneering what meat they got left over. That last thing at night, I don't know if people remember how them things were. And like we,
but how did the store work? I mean, to give us an idea what a day was, work was like. Boy, was it much the same as today, except for the prices?
No, not really. It's not as hard. Things are not as tough. It's easy in comparison now.
So what was it like then? Give us a few stories to let us know what it was like.
In them days, the stalls were on boards and trestles, and you had to pull them up the road from the yard to put out. And what was missing, you get the old hammer out and nail them together of a morning sort of thing. And gradually, over the years, we got on with a chap who made the stalls on wheels. We were the first people to introduce the stalls on wheels in the Woolwich Market. They'd had them in other markets, see, but we'd copied. This man come from Bermondsey, by the way, Western Street, always remember that. And Robinson. And we used to have these. Well, then we had one made of our own, weighed about 10 tonne, I should think. We had to pull it. We used to pull it round from our yard and put it out.
So then you'd stack, put the fruit out?
Put all the veg out.
Was it fruit as well, or was it just veg?
No. At that time, we only sold cooking apples, that's the only fruit. Now and again, and after the war, when things were tough.
No.
We used to.
Before the war?
Yeah. Oh, before. No, we never sold much. The only fruit we touched on the stalls was cooking apples and such.
Was it very seasonal then? Because, then things grew in a season. Now
That is it. See, during the summer season, you have peas and runner beans and things like that. In the winter time, it sprouts. And the stuff was local, more or less. It wasn't like brought in from all the countries like it is now. Years ago, I think we were the first people in Woolwich to sort of have stick runner beans imported from Holland. They used to come in all done up fancy like. But things were hard then, you know. And I know many a Monday morning, the three brass balls took the gold watch and chain off bloke for the week to pay for the stock money. different stalls and that. If the bloke had his watching chain on Saturday night, he'd had a fair week's training.
What sort of pay would you get?
I was getting £1 a week then, I think.
So not that bad for then.
What, for 12 hours a day and about 14 hours on Saturday morning?
So perhaps it was bad.
No, you just sort of, like rain, snow, that. When the snow came and and the stalls got covered in snow. As a matter of fact, a bloke, I called out the bloke in the butcher, so he's coming out with great big poles, he used to have big poles. I don't know if you remember butcher shops. They used to have the open front butcher shops, hang it all up. They used to come out with their poles and lift it up for me and pull it off for me, yeah. Yeah.
And you did that. When did you start at Woolwich Market then? About 1930?
Oh, no, in the 30s, early 30s, wasn't it? It must be.
How old were you?
About 16, I suppose.
So about 1931?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, did you have any hobbies, big hobbies, or anything that you did in your spare time, or were you just working on the store?
I had no spare time, because time to go home at night time, 8 o'clock in the week, washed and cleaned up. What night? I used to go to night school for quite a number of years.
What were you studying at night school?
General studies sort of thing, nothing special.
Why were you doing it? Do you see what I mean?
Hoping you'd pick up a bit of knowledge and do something better. But so many people doing it, and doing it better than what you were. I used to go to the school, used to start 7:30 in the evening to 9:30 at night. When you came home, it was got home about just before 10 o'clock at night. That was a lot. In any case, you never had money to go anywhere with in them days.
Now, were you aware of what was going on in Germany? You know, were you aware of Hitler, that there
not
might be a war coming?
Not until about 1937, 1938, I suppose.
What did you think of what was going on?
I used to think it was a bit of a giggle at first, tell you the truth. And my brother was in the Royal Scot. One of my brothers was in the Royal Scots at the time, and I used to take the Mickey out of him. And I said no, but
he was a regular.
He was.
You never thought of joining the Territorials yourself?
No way, no.
No, why not? You're about the right age, you know. Give
yeah,
it a
yeah, but discipline wasn't my cup of tea. I like to be a bit of a freelance. Yes, sir, no, sir, three bags pulled in a pill to Tom. No way. But it's. I was lucky. I had three sisters, and Monday nights, I used to be all in wrestling at Cheltenham. My older sister used to get all my stuff ready. So when I come in at work, I'd change quickly and we'd all go off to the all-in wrestling at Cheltenham and thing. And if, like, you used to go out, like, after you've been out a couple of nights in the week, your little wood of silver had gone, you couldn't go anywhere else. Oh, we used to put the placards up now and again on the cinemas and theatres on one of our gates. And if we were lucky, you got hold of that parcel, you didn't have to pay for it to go in. Which I never got my turn very often. But the other lads got it. But, no... I suppose I kept going until. Where were
they? Did you drink much? I mean, did you go to the pub?
In the younger days, yes, I did. I was educated by the older blokes.
On the market?
On the market. And actually, felt like you're used. Go in there and see if there's anyone we shouldn't be seeing, you know, keep your eye open, Tom. And I was used that way, you see. And when the blokes first had a car in them days, like, you know. Come, Tommy. I was like the Sky Boy, as they call it. And so I started getting around, and then say, got a little collection of friends and that, and just used to go drinking around the local clubs, like working men's clubs, that is, because you'd be a member of the affiliated clubs, right? And we used to go, they have dances, like in different places. Yorkshire Grey was one, and all that up at Welling, that was another one. You just travel around, you know, different nights.
What were the dances like?
Good. They were dances, not physical jerks like they have now. They was ballroom dancing, some good dancers, and I was useless. I couldn't walk around, but I'd dance around, but I used to get on the floor, yeah.
Now, do you remember it's the old comedian's line, do you remember the day war broke out?
Yes, it was on a Sunday. I remember I was getting myself tarted up. I was going to meet in the Shakespeare Hotel like we did on the Sunday morning to make plans. Used to open at 12 o'clock then. Used to meet in there, make our plans for the day. And I just got myself all tied up and sirens went. And I finished up going up the road, digging gardens up for two air raid shelters for neighbours.
So that was the day. You didn't hear the broadcast then?
Yeah, oh yes, I waited to hear that.
What did you think?
I thought it was a silly old so-and-so. What's he talking about? And I was when war didn't, you know. didn't go on it much on it. No.
Did you think it would involve you? I mean, you know, you were...
Never give it a thought. I thought myself, I'd brothers in the regular army, and there was the TA, they didn't want me, sort of thing.
So you'd be about 24 then?
When I was called up.
What about the digging air raid shelters? Was that the Anderson shelter?
Yeah, the Anderson shelter, yeah.
Can you tell us how you did that? Because people don't know what the Anderson shelter was or how you got them in.
I forget the actual size of them. It just like a big hole, the size of the shelter. And when you got the excavation done, the shelter was corrugated iron, right? You got it together, it was all experts at that. Didn't know a thing, did we? We got it together, then we put back all the earth and that on top of it and got it down.
Did you have one at your house?
No, funny enough, we never.
Did you have any shelter?
No. A lot of people didn't know. They had a big old kitchen table, a lot of people. The kids used to dive under that, they tell me. But you remember, that age then, I was in my early 20s and that, and I used to think, that'd be over next week, sort of thing.
Now, how did the war affect you? I mean, because you were called up in April 1940. Now, before then, that's the phony war, isn't it? How did the war affect you on your market stall and in Woolwich?
Well, the only way, certain restrictions, we couldn't have lights at night time and that. When it's dark, you packed up.
So that the blackout restricted the hours you could work?
Yeah, you got there and you worked sort of non-stop while daylight was there, and you didn't go home and say, I'm going to have my dinner or work, I'm going to have my breakfast, and all that. You just stopped and worked there, you see.
So during the winter, you'd have to stop at about 6 o'clock,
if I remember? Before that.
Fine.
As a matter of fact, we bought some covers for the electric light, and we thought we could sort of have subdued lighting, and the authorities wouldn't stand for it.
Any other effects of the war on the way you worked and the way you lived?
No, I suppose I was a bit of a scared him. I didn't care much as well. It happens, you know, not thinking I was going to get involved in it. And
So you just carried out. Did any vegetables, I mean, what about rationing? Did rationing affect the stall early on?
No. Not early on, it didn't. And then it became, potatoes became rationed.
So how did that happen? What happened?
That was more or less after the war, I think, more when we started rationing them. Because
I mean, in 1939, 40. Yeah.
That never started then.
So the stall just worked as normal?
Yeah, for a while. For a long while. But then when the ration books come out, you try to encircle the number.
Well, tell us how the ration books work for you on the stall.
Well, they had at the back of the ration book, there was a 1 to 31 sort of thing. And you had to put a circle around the number of that week. Mind you, I used to put the same circle around no matter how many times they came to take money to earn money, sort of thing. No, we used to circle them out. Good. You've got to remember, 100 weight of potatoes then, 100 weight of King Edward, we deliver for 6 and 6 pence. That's how the prices were. White potatoes was £5 for tuppence, King Edward was £4 for threepence.
So it didn't really affect the working of your store much, the rationing?
Yes, because... You've got to remember that came early. That came more or less after I had left.
Right. So later on, it did
affect you, sir. But
now, anything else about the time between September and April? You know, September 39 and April when you were called up. Anything happened or anything new? Or was it just much as before?
Not much as before, like you're saying. Well, that you hadn't had a card. You hadn't had a letter from anybody saying the country needs you. So you just kept going. And all you'd done in your free time, if you had the money in your pocket, you indulged in a light owl.
Now, did you ever think of volunteering? And if not, I'm
not... No way.
Why not? Tell me why not. Just explain to me.
I thought myself, soldiers not my game. That discipline was it. Woolwich being a garrison town, I used to see some of the soldiers and all what was going on and that. And that didn't appeal to me. But I had brothers, Royal Engineers, Royal Scots, the Hampshires. Well, I never thought that for one moment they'd want me. They'd got enough people without my help. And that's the last sort of one until I got a nice notification.
Can you just explain again? Cause we just missed a bit on the... I had a bit of a... what about the stall? Was it able to run in your or the other brother's absence? Or
I forget who we had at the time when I left. One chap who worked for us, he finished up running the RAF, I know. But I don't know how they got into it. My sister-in-law ran it for a while. Yes, I think.
So the family kept good grip. Tell me about the call-up. You were called up in April 1940. Yeah. What was the actual procedure when you were called up?
Well, the general notification throughout the country, you had to register at the Labour Exchange, as they called it then. Then within a fortnight, double quick, for they wanted me badly, I thought, I had to go to the Yorkshire Grey pub at Eltham and have a medical. And within a fortnight from there, the King wanted my services, and I reported to Maidstone Barracks.
How did you feel about that?
I wasn't very happy, but I went out, had a few more light hours, and thought, eat, drink and be merry.
And who were you joining at Maidstone Barracks?
Well, the West Kents.
Now, was this the 4th Battalion, the training depot?
Now, people don't realise that. The difference is, I got called up, and of course it said, report at 10 o'clock or soon after as possible. Well, on my way there, the Salutation pub, and the a couple of other pubs got in the way. And I got down there about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And after a few preliminaries and being issued with kit and the check bloke walking around, you know, the kit, as you get to different departments, knife, fork, spoon, razor comb, a lather, brush, button stick, and all this old jazz. When I come back, he says, got bad news for you. I said, what was that? He said, got no room for you here. Well, that's good, I'm going home. He said, you're going in civvy billets. So two other chaps and myself, all complete strangers to each other, were taken down Week Street in Maidstone and up another little turn in to a little general shop. And that was our billet.
What was it like?
He used to call us every morning with a cup of tea and a biscuit.
They're still living there?
Yes. Of course, the only trouble was we had to cart all our kit down to the barracks and back each time, because you couldn't trust leaving it in the barracks. And after there for a while...
Well, did they treat you well, the family?
We used to go home and sleep, more or less, and then get out next morning and you didn't see them all day. And it used to be a service club down the bottom. If you had sixpence on the night time, you could go in the service club, get a pie or something, a cup of tea. And that went on for quite a while. Then.
Can we take us through, if we look at the training, because we're interested in training. If we go through a typical day's training and look at how you deal with it, what would a typical day be like for you at Maidstone Barracks? I know you're in billets, so what time would you start in the morning?
I think men on parade at 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm not sure, after... Because you had to queue up for meals down there, because you had all your meals was down there.
So the billet didn't provide it was just a cup of tea?
He was very, very good to us. He used to make us a cup of tea at a little general shop, I suppose he could do it, but he wanted, all he was supposed to supply was the accommodation.
So tell me about, let's start with the food. What was the food like, your first army food? What did you think of it?
I'll tell you, pathetic. And a Captain Green was the messing up, so I've never forgot him. And I was throwing something away in the bin one day. And he came up with his swagger stick and banged on my plate and says, you'll need that one day, boy, and give me a right lecture in front of about 800, 900 people in the mess room, telling me how I was going to need that food. It was, I suppose, really truthful in the end. But I didn't go much on the grub.
Now, what was wrong with it?
I don't know, wasn't not what I was used to, sort
in
of thing.
In what way? You go along,
you know, 1%, 1%. If you say you didn't like it, you got it slammed on. And if you went to fry it away because you didn't like it, I never ate Sweden until I went in the army, tell you the truth. In the end, I'd eat anything. But I was throwing this bit away, and this Captain Green, and he gave me a right verbal lashing. Well, so good luck to you, mate.
Now, what about the training sessions? Perhaps you start with drill.
How
did you take to drill?
Well, when they used to holler and shout, you know, left turn, right turn, three bags, full sort of thing. You know, get you going, though, until you sort of have a collisions, you know, just take the mickey out of you, and you're thinking to yourself, he's a nice sprite sort of a... No, I didn't... Well, I will say it knocked us into shape. I'm not speaking for myself, it knocked us into shape a bit more, like, you know.
You didn't mind it then, as much as you thought?
After the initial thought of it, you thought, this is not bad, but they used to take you on a march in them days outside the barracks. you get yourself, you know, and you've marched at full attention for so long, then when you got so far away, they released you, and you shoulder your arms and walk. Then as you came back, they used to form up, and the regimental band used to meet us on Bluebell Hill, and we had to march back at attention after doing Lord knows how many miles. That helped you.
Did you understand the point of drill?
At that time, no. Can't we find something better than this to do? I thought, this is not soldiering, I should think. Yeah. You know, that's my personal opinion. You know.
Now, what about other training? What about weapons training? What weapons do? How did they teach you to use a rifle?
That was, well, K8128, I remember that. Marley Enfield, yeah.
That was the number, was it?
Yeah. And, the weight got you in the first instance, you know. Especially when they start saying you slope arms and that, and someone can't give a snack on the bullet in, boy, you know, very politely sort of thing. But no.
What about actual firing, though? How did they teach you to fire it? Because, you know.
Our district, we were the first place we fired of live ammunition. A couple of places, we're not half here now, but we finished up down in Kent, and they said, keep your head down, because this is live ammunition. So no one went lower to the ground than me. I can't remember how we really started that.
Do you remember how they trained you to aim? Yes.
Because aim, all rifles got a different characteristic. Some go, as you fire, they go left, some go right, some go up, some go down. So you've got to learn your rifle. Every rifle's not the same. So you have to learn that. And I don't think we'd done too much of that in the barracks. And then we was pushed out.
Hang on. What about, when you fired it, what about the kick? Was that a surprise?
Yeah, that was more than I didn't know what to expect, to tell you the truth. But I see other blokes, I think, well, that ain't so bad. But when I got down here, it wasn't as good as I thought it was.
Were you a good shot or
No. And then we went down to...
Hang on, still on the typical day, just the rest of the train. What about bayonet training?
They got you bayonet tracking 2 days ago, got you bleeding just around there, where you're stuck in the target. And they didn't believe you'd stuck in the target unless you got blood round here, these sergeants. You know, as you go in and go bang, and you had the target on the floor and a standing target. And he's to help you with a few verbals, you know, on the way.
Why would you be bleeding, though?
As you attacked it, the rifles used to jab your hands round here. And you used to bleed. And that's nothing, boy, you'll see more than that, you know. So that's all you couldn't say anything, that's it. And then, we're doing that then for...
What about hand grenades?
Ah, that came much later.
Okay. So, still on your basic training, what other weapons did you do? You do a rifle, bayonet, anything else? Bren?
We hadn't got too many Brens at that time. That came later. But they said, sorted me out, they said, we'll put you on the mortars. Well, I didn't know what, but the only mortars I knew was the pub called the mortar, sort of thing. So, 3-inch mortars. See, so I said, 3-inch mortars? So, yeah. Anything's better than this, I'm thinking. So down I go, 3-inch mortar, of all things I got. They said, pick up the tripod. Gosh, I thought myself, I can do without this.